Congregation, I know my fellow ministers in Holland quite well. One of them used to be a lawyer. One of them used to be a professor. One used to be a heart specialist. One used to be a pediatrician. One was a researcher in university. And they had beautiful careers in front of them, promising people, making lots of money. And then they quit. And they said to their colleagues, I have to stop this. There's something else. What are you going to do? I go back to school, to the theological school. They were accepted by the curatorium. And they'll become a pastor. So they looked at them, kind of, what? Why are you doing that? Certainly not for the money. So what's the purpose? Well, that's a good question. But it was not their choice. It was not their ambition. It was not for the status. It was something else, a calling. An inner calling, and they had to obey. They had to quit the work they were doing, and were called in the Lord's ministry. It was kind of something that was drawing them. They were not only called personally as out of the darkness and to the marvelous light, but they were also called to become ministers of the gospel. I had to think about that when I read this chapter. And let me point to verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. See that? Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That holy draw to do that. So the theme for this morning, Paul, the Apostle Paul, rewarded. Rewarded? In the first place, not with earthly good. Secondly, he was rewarded with the preaching. Preaching itself is a precious work and so rewarding, has more than all the money in the world. To preach the gospel is a precious work. And in the third place, rewarded in eternity. Not the Apostle Paul himself only, but also many of his hearers. And that was so valuable to him. So Paul rewarded, not with earthly goods. Secondly, rewarded with preaching. Sounds kind of strange, right? But rewarded with preaching, but yet I mean it. Rewarded with the preaching itself. That's rewarding. And rewarded in eternity. You remember the Apostle Paul was writing many letters, many epistles to the congregation. And you probably remember that also some letters are written to him, to Paul. Because the young church of Corinth had many questions. Questions about, do I now stay married? Or do I divorce him? Because they are so different in religion. And the Apostle Paul said, no, don't divorce. As long as you can, stay together. Do I now quit my work? No, not if it's not ethical, yes. But otherwise, just stay where you are. Just be calm and just be faithful and stay in your vocation. What about circumcision, they asked. The Apostle Paul, circumcision, where you are circumcised or not circumcised, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you keep the commandments, he said. And what about sacrificing to the idols? That's wrong. But eating the meat that was sacrificed to the idols, that's okay. But why? Because those idols don't exist. And yet, if I would offend my brother, I would never eat meat. So the Apostle Paul realized also very much that it's not just knowing things. Be convinced about things and seeing the Bible, there's nothing wrong with that. And also judge in love, to know in love. Because what did he say last week in the previous chapter? Knowledge puffs up. I know it. Nothing wrong with that. Don't force me. But love edifies. It's building up. So the Apostle Paul was also convinced that eating that meat, sacrificing the idols, there's nothing wrong with that. And yet he didn't do it. Because of love. And now there's apparently also a question he's answering about his apostleship and about his salary, about making money. So when the Apostle Paul came first to the city of Corinth, there was no congregation. There was no congregation to support him. He had to work himself as a tent maker. And then someone was drawn by the word. So was just two people. It was Paul and a person, maybe his wife. And then maybe a week later, another person was drawn to the word. So slowly, slowly, a congregation was planted under the goodness of God. But you know, then at a certain time, the Apostle Paul had, let me say, 20, 30, 40, 50 people listening to him. It became a congregation. And that congregation was kind of wondering, is this man now an apostle? Do we have to pay him? What's the matter? They're confused about that. And the Apostle Paul says, am not I an apostle? Sent by the Lord, the apostle means sent by the Lord. Am I not free? Or am I bound under the law? No, I know what the gospel means. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord on the way to Damascus? Have I not seen him? Remember that? I told you before. Are not ye my work in the Lord? You are proof of that. The Lord blessed the means, blessed the word. So I'm myself, you yourself are proof of the work of the Lord. If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So he reminds the congregation of the wonderful application of the Holy Spirit. The word of God had power and was the two-edged sword and did something to the people that many were drawn by the Lord. And he said, you are my proof. And mine answer to them that do examine me is this. See that in verse 3, they're examining him because he was not paid anything yet. And some said, that doesn't sound good, because that sounds suspicious. You're doing it all for free, what's behind that? We don't understand it. So the Apostle Paul is discussing that with them and trying to answer the questions. My answer to them that do examine me is this. What is the answer? Have ye not power to eat and to drink? You know, the word power is an old word, and you probably don't get it right away. It's mentioned, I think, 3 times in the coming verses, and I think it would be helpful if you would substitute the word power with the word right. You have rights, right? So have we not the right to eat and to drink? I have to eat too. It was Paul right then. Have you not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? What is that? Verse 5. Were not most of the apostles married? Right? To lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, even the apostle Peter was married. So they're asking about a salary, and he said, you know, I have to eat, and I married a wife, I have a family, or I only and Barnabas have not we power, right, to forbear working. So, do we not have the right, Paul and Barnabas, do we not have the right to forbear, to let go working? And then he mentions quite a few examples about how reasonable it is that the apostles were paid so much. So let us, it's kind of a trap, you know. So it's remarkable. It's beautiful. So let's try to follow that and be prepared for the catch. So he's talking about soldiers in the army. And he says, you know, when people are soldiers in the army and they fight in the battle, do they make their own money? And do they have to get their own food and drink? Or is it all taken care of? Of course. Who go with a warfare anytime at his own charges? You can't get any soldier if you don't pay them. Who planted a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who will do that? Who will be so dumb to plant a vineyard or other trees or plants and then not benefit from it? Would you like to have a farm there's no benefit in? Would you like to grow plants, a vineyard or something else, if there's no money in there? Who feeds the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Would you be a shepherd? A shepherd of sheep? And you just spend so many hours with the flock and you come home and you just, that's it? And your employer does not give you anything? Would you go tomorrow again and next week again? Who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Is this just reasoning? No. It is written in the law of Moses. Moses talked about that. Moses spoke about oxen. Oxen who were treading the threshing floor. So they were walking in a circle, and they had the wheat on the floor, and they were stepping on the heads of wheat, so to separate the chaff from the kernels. And it was forbidden to muzzle those oxen, so that those oxen were, they should have the ability to also take a bite here and there. Because it's abusive. It's abusing animals if you just let them work hard and you don't give them reward. So, say I these things as a man? No. Or say it not the law the same thing, for it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Yes, he does. Or saveth he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. You know, when in springtime, the tractors are going on the fields, and they plow the soil and they plant, they do that in hope. Right? They do it in hope. They do that in the hope that they will have fruit and a harvest. And if there would be no hope, they won't do it. So the Apostle Paul says, if I have no hope, would I do it? That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So if you are a custom worker and you plow the ground for a farmer, or you have the hay bales for them, or if you have the combines on the fields for them, of course you get paid for that, don't you? Because you help them out and they make lots of money with that. So part of that comes to you as a custom worker. And now he just goes one step further. And he says, if we have sown unto spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So I have not worked physically among you, but I have worked spiritually. That's a step higher. So if I have sown unto spiritual things the word of God, shall we not reap your carnal things? It's just money. Just money. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not ye rather? So, you're almost there. Let me go back. The Apostle Paul did not make any money in Corinth. The people were suspicious of that. And they were kind of questioning about it. And the Apostle Paul said, I have the power, I have the right to eat. I have the right to have a family. I think it's reasonable. Even the Bible says so. If the Bible says so, that you should not muzzle the ox when he treads the corn. And now? Is that where he stops? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. We have not used this right. I've never asked for money. I've never said I need more. I've never done that in any shape or form. But suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Nobody shall be able to say he is doing the work for the money. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which are wait at the altar, partakers with the altar? The priests, right? The priests, they also get part of the sacrifices. And the Apostle Paul says, even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Verse 14. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make me glorying void. You know, if money is in the way, I'd rather die. So the Apostle Paul is so convinced that he has to preach the word of God and that it is the Lord's calling. He's not employed by the people. He is employed by the Lord. And it was the Lord's choice, not his will, but the Lord's will. The Lord drew him that way. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to be proud of. But for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Second thought. Do you know the Apostle Paul said, I don't need it. I'm not asking, I don't need it. There's something more important to me. There's something so special. That is that I may preach to you the word. That is so rewarding. That is my reward. Verse 18, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ with a church, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So, that is his reward. His reward is to preach the gospel, and to preach the gospel freely. Freely, not only in the sense that he does not ask any reimbursement, but also special because it is so beautiful to do. It's so rewarding. So, it's kind of strange. Preaching the word of God on the pulpit is something you look up against. Like, who is sufficient? So often on Sunday morning, when I wake up, I can't. I just can't. It's impossible. It will be failure. It is with so many shortcomings. So it's a burden. It's a load on your shoulders. And at the same time, I don't want to miss it. It's the best thing there is. To preach the word of God. The office of a bishop is a good thing. Anyone interested? Any young man? You know, that is special. When on the pulpit you may experience the unction of the Holy Spirit, that he gives you the words in your mouth and the meditation in your heart, and that you apparently have people praying for you, and the Lord gives the freedom, and that the Lord blesses the word. That's so rewarding. Everything else pales with that. So, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Necessity, the must. You should, you have to go. Do you know that there's such a power in there, a power of the word. I will make you fishers of men. Go. Necessity laid upon me. If I don't do it, it will kill me. If I don't preach the gospel like I should, I perish. There's no way out. It's the Lord's calling, and it's precious. Necessity laid upon me. He is threatening himself. He says, Paul, you will lose your salvation if you go this route. Of course, that cannot be, but so to speak. Like he ends in verse 27, when I preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Right? So, what is that? Necessity laid upon me. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, let us unpack it a little bit. What is the most important thing, or one of the most important things for a preacher? You know, when someone writes a book about preaching, what is one of the most important chapters in the book about preaching? I would say one of the most important chapters is love your people. Love your people. It's a gift. And the Lord lays it on you. The welfare of the people. They must be converted. They've only one soul for eternity. They someday will stand for the judgment seat of God. The necessity is laid upon me. I want all those people to be converted. All of them. I want all of them. I don't want to miss anyone before the throne of God. And I'm not always have that fire and warmth. But sometimes I do. And I love you all. So that necessity laid upon me. Woe unto thee. The Lord say, if you don't do it, I will require it from your own hands. You will pay for it if you don't preach the gospel. No, don't deceive people. Don't deceive people. Don't fake anything. Don't change the word of God. Be honest. Be biblical. Preach the 3 points of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, and all that. And preach the word of God experientially. Yes, but preach the gospel. You know, I looked it up what it says in the original. If I not preach the gospel, and it's literally there. Evangelize, to preach the good tidings. You know, we have to preach law and gospel, right? Law and gospel. But the overarching thing in the truth of the Bible is the gospel. Because when I preach the law, then the purpose is to make room for the gospel. And when I preach the gospel, it's not to make room for the law. The law is only a means. And the knowledge of misery is only a path and not the purpose. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what will that be if preachers deceive the people? Or if they hold people back and say, no, don't believe in the Lord Jesus. Not yet. Maybe later. Or if they put obstacles on the road and say, you know, you have to earn a few things first. Woe unto me if I do that. If I do not preach the gospel. So he is preaching the word. So in that sense, preaching is what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel is not only teaching the truth and the doctrine. It's not only informing people and theology and Bible study. Dry Bible study. It is not only describing the experiences of God's people. That as well, that's also needed to know how that works and how the Lord converts people. That's an essential part also of the gospel. But to preach personally, to declare to the people. You know, let me quote from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 31. Using the keys of the kingdom, it says, it is declared and publicly testified. Declared. I declare this morning. And I publicly testify this morning to all and every believer that they, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all the sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Jesus Christ's merits. I declare that, and I testify it publicly, that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ with a true faith has the forgiveness of his sins. That's a declaration. That's pronouncing the word. And on the contrary, when it is declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent, that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and eternal condemnation so long as they are unconverted. So, we'd like to let you know, unconverted ones, in the name of God, I declare you, I pronounce you unsaved. I pronounce you under the condemnation of God. You know, we have quite a few weddings last week and a few more in the coming weeks. And then after the vows and the ring ceremony, I say, I pronounce you, husband, wife, in the name of God and the law of British Columbia, I pronounce you. I officially declare that. That's preaching. That's preaching. To officially declare that you're exposed to the wrath of God. So, that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in another place, in Ephesians 6, and for me, he's talking of prayer, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, this morning I must say, be ye reconciled to God. Make haste. Jeremiah also had that pressure on him. The prophet Jeremiah. He said, I'm not going to preach anymore. It causes so much trouble and so much strife. I quit. I will not make mention of him anymore, nor speak in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So the prophet Jeremiah said, you know, I just stop it. But there was a fire in his bones. He had to. Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constraineth me. The love of Christ constraineth me. So that means that I warn in love. A text that is dear to me is from Isaiah 62. I remember so vividly the time that I was studying theology. I was wondering if I would ever be a minister. I felt a calling, but would it ever materialize? It was dark. And then I read this text from Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So I have said, watchmen, O ye that mensch make mention, Lord, keep not silence. So that is quite rewarding, isn't it? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, and all those other things don't matter too much. I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So the love for people is a chapter. What will be another chapter? The love for God. The love for the Lord Jesus. The love for the law. The love for the gospel itself. And realizing that people are mortal and that there is a never-ending eternity and that it is eternally well or it is an eternal woe. So, the love of Christ, the love of God, death. You know, later on, the Apostle Paul speaks about those things again. For example, in verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might be all, by all means save some. Save some. So what does it mean? Suppose you've been in church for the first time ever. And I say you need to be saved. Saved from what? From what? Saved from pain? Saved from loneliness? Saved from death? Saved from hell? Saved from what? Well, it is actually to be saved from the wrath of God. Saved from the wrath of God. That's like something. There is an angry God who cannot stand sin. He must punish it. And there is holy indignation. You have no idea what the wrath of God is. Well, that they'll be in hell to experience the fullness of it forever. And now to be saved from that wrath. He that believeth on the Son is everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that's why the love of Christ constrains. And that's why we need to preach like Moses did. Moses made that brazen serpent, right, in the wilderness and put it on a pole and lifted it up on high so that sinners could see it. And so I have to hold up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish. Not perish. Perish. Wrath. Holy indignation of God. So, you know, this is a point now in the sermon that I feel that I have said what I had to say, and yet I don't feel I can bring it home. I feel the resistance, right? because we don't want to heed the law, neither really the gospel. We are enemies of both of them by nature. We read in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See, that is the preaching. That is reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long suffering, with patience. So that preaching itself is rewarding. It's a burden, it's also rewarding. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It was committed unto him. Because it was not his own will. It was the Lord's will. He drew him. Brings to the third thought. Congregation, in the next few verses, the verses 15 through 18, we read about the word gain. Gain. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. More people need to be gained. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. See? And 21, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Kind of a difficult piece. But the Apostle Paul is saying, some people are under the law, under the ceremonial Old Testament Jewish law, like circumcision and so on. He says, you know, when I talk to those people under the ceremonial yoke, I just play along a little bit. I just don't offend them. Because I want to gain them. And I don't want to create distance. I don't stay close to them. Of course, there are also people not under the law in that sense. Of course, they are under the moral law, but not under the ceremonial law. And they know that. They feel free. Then I talk along with them as well. As unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, that's the same as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, not Jewish, Gentiles, under this, not under the ceremonial law, as without the law, but being not without law to God, not free from the moral law, that I might gain them that are without the law. See, the Apostle Paul says, I don't want to be an obstacle. I don't want to stand in the way to anyone. Salvation is so terribly important that I can't afford it, distancing people from me. I need to be a Jew to the Jews and a Gentile to the Gentile, because if I estrange them, they don't listen anymore. It's not worth it. See? So the Apostle Paul was asking Timothy to be circumcised, right? He was not really in favor of that. He didn't think he should be, but he said it's better that. Because otherwise you have a problem in church and people don't listen anymore. even the weak. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Oh, that word gain. How many times? 5 times? Gain. Gain them all. We need to win them over. To win them all for the kingdom of God. I want to gain them because they need to. I love that if they would stand before the throne of God, saved. I need to gain them. It was his burden, necessity laid on him to gain people. Did he not say something similar in Romans 9, verse 1? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I would do anything that I'd be saved. Do you have something of that zeal? You don't need per se to be a pastor for that. As an elder, as a deacon, as a parent, as an uncle, as an aunt, as a neighbor, as a colleague. Do we care? Do we care? Mexican outreach? Do we care? Mission work in Bolivia? Do we care? Or do we only see the picture on the calendar and say, oh, no, it's so nice, so nice. Does that tell you how far you come? Don't they need to be saved from the wrath of God? Don't you need to be saved from the wrath? And do you care for your children and grandchildren? You pray for them? Is there zeal? Is there the necessity laid upon me? How many shortcomings do I have? I'm not proud of myself. I wish I could preach every Sunday with that burden on me that I must preach the gospel and with much love in my heart. Pray for the ministers. And then in the last piece, 24 to 27, he speaks about self-control. And he's talking about two sports, running and boxing. Because in Corinth, there were also Olympic Games. And the Apostle Paul knew of some people that were into that, and they were on a diet and they're training every day and they're so dedicated to those sports. He did not agree with that. He thought it was foolish. But he just used an example of people so foolish, they do anything to train because they want to win, they want to have the prize. And he's saying, you know, then people are so committed to win and are so sacrificing their normal lives, have almost no time for anything else. Know ye not that they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Not only for yourself personally, but also for others. Run. And every man that striveth for mastery, striveth, boxing, for the mastery, is temperate in all things. Temperate means sacrificing. I cannot do this. I can't eat so much. I can't go so far. I have no time for this. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. So after having exercised for months or years and then win the prize and have that wreath on your head, this is awesome, right? You win. You have gold. If therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight, box, not as one that beat in the air, but that you really hit someone. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. See? Self-control. Suffering. To do anything for that purpose, because it's worth it. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker with you. That I may be a partaker with you. So he hopes to share, he hopes to experience that together in heaven. That he should not be a castaway, but that they would join in eternal bliss. You know, think of this sentence. I think verse 22 is probably a key verse. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I may by all means. Three times all. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. There's his constant heaviness, his constant desire. I need more people to be converted. Do you know you're not in church to receive counseling? Well, there's always counseling in the Bible as well. It's not about self-esteem in church and loneliness and problems in this life and how to know how to deal with that practically. That's all included as well, but that's not the main purpose. The main purpose is that you must be saved. And we have a natural resistance against thinking of death. You push it away. So I want to challenge you. Think about it today. Standing before the judgment seat of God and having to give account of every idle word. Having to give account of all your deeds, of where you have been this week and what you have done this week and what you have said this week and what you have eaten this week and what you were drinking this weekend. It is such a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You will ask the mountains, fall on us, because I can't stand it. The face of God in the face of Christ. So I publicly testify and declare that if you believe in that Savior, Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And if you're unconverted and not believing in, you are still exposed to the wrath of God. I hope you can live with it like that. And I hope you hear it. That the apostle said is a gospel. There's a gospel. And he preaches that gospel. And it was a joy for him, but also a burden. And the Lord bless it. He is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.